time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.
What's up, everybody? This is the D-Job, Danimal Daniel Jobber, here with you again for another episode of Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber 205 Live and WWE Cruiserweight Report, courtesy of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Hope everyone had a wonderful week. Thanks for joining me again this week. In sports, your Edmonton Eskimos survived a strong surge from the winless Hamilton Tiger Cats to remain undefeated at 6-0! How about those Edmonton Eskimos so far this year? If you're not supporting them, you're missing out on some great local professional football. In the WWE, we are now just over 2 weeks away from SummerSlam, and most of the action is setting up the card for the big event. On Raw, after becoming the number one contender, set to face Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam, Bayley won a match against Nia Jax, only to, as we found out later, separate her shoulder in the match, and became unable to perform at SummerSlam. There will apparently be a mini-tournament consisting of two triple threat matches and a final between the two winners to determine the new number one contender on the final 2 weeks of Raw heading into SummerSlam. SmackDown was pretty much the same, trying to build up the storylines and set the matches for SummerSlam. However, the big surprise story was the main event, in which Shinsuke Nakamura shocked many fans and won the number one contender match clean with a Kinshasa over the favorite John Cena to earn the right to face Alberta's own Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship. Many, including myself, had pretty much accepted the fact that Cena was going to face Jinder Mahal in a USA versus India matchup for the title, but the plans for this have apparently changed. There's a bit of controversy over the victory, however, as Nakamura's victory was set up by dropping John Cena awkwardly on his neck just before hitting the winning Kinshasa. Nakamura reportedly felt bad for almost injuring the superstar. After the match, Baron Corbin attacked Nakamura, but luckily John Cena was not far away and was able to come back for the big save. This likely sets up a John Cena versus Baron Corbin matchup at SummerSlam, which perhaps could be a match which covers up the fact that Baron Corbin plans to cash in his money in the bank at SummerSlam. Who knows? Before we get to the Cruiserweight action this week, I apparently got a quick piece of fan mail from one Monsieur Loubet. Let's see, it says, Monsieur Jobber, I hate to say it, but the picture on your logo, it looks like you need to, have a poop? What? How did that get past screening? It's not true. My picture on my logo looks nothing like me needing to have a bowel movement. Anyways, that was Monsieur Loubet, everybody, and it looks like I'm going to have to fire my screening guy. Anyways, now to the Cruiserweight action this week. On main event, we had Cedric Alexander versus the premier athlete Tony Nese. Tony Nese does his usual antics, counting out the muscles in his 8-pack, stopping the match to show the audience his physique, doing his bicycle leg extensions on a Cedric Alexander while he's in the corner in the Tree of Woe position. He actually got a pretty good chorus of boos going from the fans for all his antics. Both men showed off some pretty good agility moves as well. The one I thought was most impressive was actually Tony Nese, who jumped from the outside apron all the way up and over the top rope and landed in a springboard off the inside second turnbuckle and did a backward flip onto Cedric Alexander. Of course, a short time later, Cedric Alexander does his usual top rope springboard forearm attack, although Tony Nese would counter back with a vicious gutbuster a moment after that. Cedric Alexander finally wins with as nice a handspring enziguri as you'll see, followed by a lumbar check and a 3-count victory. So it's actually a pretty darn good match, and a nice way to start off the week in the Cruiserweight division. Then on Monday Night Raw, we had a 6-man tag team match, Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, and Akira Tozawa versus Arya Daivari, Tony Nese, and TJP. So just when you thought Cruiserweight matches on Raw couldn't get any more meaningless, here comes a 6-man mishmash tag team match with 6 random superstars who have no reason to be on the teams they are on, except for the fact that 3 are babyfaces and 3 are heels. I guess some people could argue that Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann should tag together more, because as singles competitors, they're virtually interchangeable anyways. Anyways, these two teams have no particular reason to be facing each other on this particular day, so you might as well kick back and enjoy the match, or go to the washroom and make a face like the one on my Jobber logo. Wait a minute, who wrote that? Are you trying to suggest that the face on my logo that's on my t-shirts, which are available from whatamaneuver.net, is a poopy face? Please refrain from calling me a poopy face. I'm not a poopy face. I'm not a poopy face. Anyways, this match got a little more time than is usually given to a cruiserweight match on Raw, as there is only one, but it was still a short and crazy match. Fairly early on, Arya Daivari manages to get a vicious attack on Akira Tozawa's injured shoulder, and Titus O'Neil begs him to quit the match as they go to break, but of course Tozawa refuses. The heels work the shoulder over during the break, but Tozawa tags out shortly after. The big spot of the match as it winds down is a synchronized outside-the-ring vault attack from Swan and Alexander, which is shortly followed by a suicide dive by Tozawa. In a matter of 10 seconds, the three babyfaces take out the three heels in dramatic style. The match ends when TJP is working over Rich Swan and does not see him tag Akira Tozawa. Rich Swan drops TJP in the corner with a super kick, and Tozawa hits his flying senton bomb from the top turnbuckle to give the babyfaces the victory. Of course, after the match, they raise the question as to whether Tozawa will stand a chance in his number one contenders match for SummerSlam against Arya Daivari on 205 Live with his clearly badly injured shoulder. And then on 205 Live, the pre-show hype is centered around building hype for the number one contender match between Akira Tozawa and Arya Daivari. Then we have the Brian Kendrick versus Gentleman Jack Gallagher. Kendrick comes out reiterating his continuous point that Jack Gallagher is a clown and says that he will send him back where he belongs, to the circus. However, after the bell, Jack Gallagher goes after Kendrick with anger and frustration over the insults he has been throwing at him these past weeks. He's attacking and attacking and ignoring the ref's warnings to stop, so the ref just calls for the bell and disqualifies him. Gallagher continues to lay down a beating, but when he pauses to grab his umbrella, Kendrick dives over the barricade and crawls away, hiding in the crowd. Not much of a showcase for either of these two. I'm not really sure where they're going to go with from here with this, but I guess we'll find out over the coming weeks. Then there's a backstage segment where Rich Swann and Mustafa Ali are presumably playing WWE 2K17 on a console. TJP comes in and Mustafa Ali excuses himself and leaves. Rich Swann and TJP have a friendly conversation. Rich Swann asks why TJP is trying so hard to be better than him, to which TJP replies he doesn't have to try, it just happens. He restates his feeling that he just wants a little friendly competition. Swan says that he feels TJP has been hung up on this since he beat him a few weeks back, to which TJP quickly corrects him by saying, "Barely. You barely beat me." Swan responds by saying that that's what he's talking about. He says that TJP is letting it eat him up inside, so they can handle it next week in a match on 205 Live. TJP agrees, but says first we need to have a little friendly competition right now, pointing at the video game. The segment ends with the two of them getting ready to play a little WWE 2K17, my favorite game. Then we have Tony Nese versus Gran Metalik. Tony Nese comes out and cuts a promo about how awesome his physique is, as this has been his usual gimmick, and how much better he looks than the Cleveland crowd. He says his opponent is covered from head to toe, because he looks pretty much like the Cleveland crowd. The crowd does respond a bit with boos, but he was getting some what chants too. Then they cut to a subtitled promo from Gran Metalik, saying how it's heart that matters, and that is what he has. Then he comes to the ring to face Nese. Tony Nese starts off showing off once again, while Gran Metalik puts on his usual clinic of agility. Metalik's coolest moment comes when he's stunned against the outside of the ropes, and Tony Nese runs at him. Metalik leaps up over Nese, and as Nese dives underneath him outside of the ropes and outside of the ring, all in a single motion, Metalik lands the jump on a top rope and springboard moonsaults himself onto Tony Nese, right in the spot where he's landed. It doesn't get much more perfect than that. The match was pretty even for the most part. Late in the match, Gran Metalik hits a crossbody from the top turnbuckle, which appears to hurt his ribs, but he manages to climb onto Nese for the pin. Tony Nese says no at the two count, however. Metalik then hits a dropkick from the top turnbuckle, and then while selling his injured ribs, springboards off the top rope just beside the corner post and hits an elbow drop. Tony Nese still kicks out at two, however. The match finally ends after Metalik leaps over Nese in the corner and lands on the top turnbuckle, but Nese cuts his leg out from under him, causing him to fall awkwardly in the corner. He's then in perfect positioning for Tony Nese to hit his running Nese and pick up the pinfall victory. Before the main event, they have an interview segment with champion Neville regarding the match. He says he doesn't care who wins, because whoever it is will face the pain and humiliation at SummerSlam of bowing down to him, King of the Cruiserweights. And finally we have the main event, Arya Daivari versus Akira Tozawa. As Arya Daivari comes out, he cuts a promo announcing that he's fighting once again for some great Iranian Olympic athlete, that he'll earn a spot in the title match at SummerSlam in his honor. He continues to insist that he's fighting for his country of Iran. Of course, Akira Tozawa comes out wearing the shoulder bandages and doing his battle cry, "Ah, ah, ah!" Akira Tozawa gets off to a hot start, trying to fire up the Cleveland fans. However, before long, Daivari takes over and dishes out some brutal punishment onto Zawa and his injured shoulder, taking him outside the ring, throwing him into the barricade, and then throws him down the aisle and tries to get in the ring before a count-out victory, but Zawa just beats the count back in. Daivari continues to work over Tozawa, as Tozawa continues to sell his shoulder injury. Daivari spends a lot of the next part of the match on the brutal offensive, and eventually gets Tozawa into a cobra clutch, trying for a submission. But Tozawa manages to finally get out of the hold. A moment later, Daivari misses an attack from the top turnbuckle, and Tozawa gets the chance to get a few moves in. He attempts to climb to the top turnbuckle for a senton bomb, but Daivari knocks him off. Daivari then hits a frog splash from the top turnbuckle, but only gets a two count. Daivari then tries to go for the hammerlock lariat, but Tozawa ducks underneath and flips Daivari over for a body drop. He then starts growling and savagely knocks Daivari out of the ring. Tozawa then does the unthinkable and does a suicide dive attack on Daivari with that terribly injured shoulder of his. Tozawa then throws Daivari back into the ring, into the corner, climbs to the top turnbuckle, and flying senton bomb! He then covers for the 1, 2, 3, and punches his ticket to the Cruiserweight Championship match against Neville at SummerSlam. The show ends as he's celebrating and trying to get the fans to celebrate with him, as Neville watches on the TV in the back, coldly. So that's all the action this week from the Cruiserweight division. Once again, this is the Emden area's own D-Jobbed Animal, Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights, and you've been listening to the Jobbing Out with Animal, Daniel Jobber, 205 Live, and WWE Cruiserweight Report on the Emden Sports Podcast Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J, and on Instagram, at Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase letters. Check out my YouTube channel under Daniel Jobber and my website, danimaldanieljobber.ca. Be sure to watch all the content from the Emden SPN on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and on the amazing Sailor app Podbean for shows like Mike the Ref's own The Blown Call and the shorter podcast Quick Calls. Great local wrestling action from CWC Evolution and the Sounds of Struggle podcast with Chris Parrish and Maniac. Also, you can follow the Emden SPN on Twitter at Emden SPN, capital E, on Edmonton, capital S, capital P, capital N, and follow Mike the Ref on Instagram at MikeTheRefEDM, all lowercase letters. Be sure to support me and the Edmonton SPN by buying official merchandise, including my pride and joy, the Jobber Champion Merchandise Collection on whatamaneuver.net, or from the link you can find on my website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, and I assure you my logo does not look like a poopy face. We have shirts and hoodies of various shapes and colors, including ones exclusively designed for women and children, and of course, those baby onesies so you can start your little one off on a good foot as little jobbers and fans of the Emden Sports Podcast Network. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all again next week. Jobber out! Did I mention that I am not, nor have I ever been, a poopy face?
Time to do the job! Behold, the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.